The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Well, we know that late last week, the Education Minister, Norma Foley, and the government had to abandon plans for limited opening for today of schools for the 60,000 Leaving Cert candidates, but also for 18,000 special needs pupils. She was met by groups representing special needs and disadvantaged children today, and that's what we're going to discuss now. We'll start with Suzanne Connolly, the Chief Executive of Bernardo's. What is the position that you put to the Minister, Suzanne?
Well, unfortunately, we weren't at the meeting with the Minister, and we have asked that we would be alongside with the Children's Rights Alliance and also with the National Parents Council and the ISBCC, because what we're particularly concerned about is the impact that school closures is having on very vulnerable children, children living in situations where their parents have parental addiction, where there's poor parental mental health, and there's domestic violence. And for these children, school is a vital source of support and structure and routine in their lives. And we know that most parents are struggling with homeschooling, but for parents with additional stresses in their lives, they just cannot do it. So that means that children who are already facing real difficulties are at risk of neglect and abuse, also have their life chances really negatively impacted by not being at school. So we are calling on the government to develop the plan they're saying they're going to do in line with and in consultation with the stakeholders so that schools can reopen on February the 1st.
And Áine Lynch, Chief Executive of the National Parents Council Primary Division, is it also the case that there are many children who have such special needs that realistically their parents at home can't teach them in the way that only the specially trained teachers in the schools can?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what we need to do is look at flexible arrangements so that schools can offer support to children in school, both children with special education needs and the vulnerable children that Suzanne was talking about there. And we really need to get schools open as quickly as possible. We can't wait till the 1st of February for some of these children, because homeschooling is just not an option for some children. We know from the last time that schools closed that these children suffered the greatest during the school closure. And it's not just that they're closed again, so it's happening again. This is a cumulative impact for these children. So we really do need to get some in-school provision started as soon as possible.
Niamh Murray, you're principal of Rutland Street National School in Dublin 1. What do you think needs to be done? What are the main problems that you see as a result of closure?
Hi, Matt. I suppose, God, there's a multitude of problems in terms of the closure and going forward into the closure. And I suppose, unfortunately, I'm a little bit less optimistic than Suzanne or Áine in the sense that I do feel this closure will probably continue until February. And I suppose my big worry is, would it go on longer than that? Because the longer it goes on, the bigger the impact. So I suppose, you know, I had staff in on Friday. More than half of my staff came in. I was a very committed staff. And, you know, they asked me, has anything been said about disadvantaged schools, about our children? Because we're very, very concerned about certain children. And I had to shake my head and say no. And I suppose that's maybe the point, and what I'd like to maybe just say today is that our children, the children in very disadvantaged communities, have been left out of the narrative on this issue. Last week, you know, it was around the children with special needs, the Leaving Cert students, and we were kind of thrown in at the end, but we didn't get much. And I suppose we have six children, you know, the vast majority of my parents in the school are doing their very best, but I do have children I would have very serious concerns around. And I suppose, you know, when the school closure happened in March, we weren't sure how much TUSLA social work were doing in terms of engagement, because obviously house visits were curtailed. So there were a lot of children that we couldn't connect with. And this is across a lot of disadvantaged communities in Ireland. It's not just in the North Inner City. In the North Inner City, we have issues around drugs, which, you know, people will come into the North Inner City to buy drugs. It's, you know, there's specific issues to our particular area. But I would be very concerned for certain children, and I suppose my feeling is that the department haven't given them the due regard that they deserve. And it's very difficult, I suppose, in Ireland. We have a lot of very vulnerable groups in our society. And my strong feeling is that a lot of vulnerable groups have a lobbying force. They have spokespeople. They have somebody out there to get the message across, whereas children in disadvantaged areas tend not to. And, you know, I can't, but if I could tell you some individual stories, you know, but I have to respect the dignity of the particular children. But if people knew their stories, they'd realise the importance of these children being being a concern. Yeah.
I can understand that. Would your teachers be willing to come in? Because the teachers' unions have been very concerned for members about the possibility of becoming sick, particularly in advance of teachers actually getting a vaccination. Do you feel your teachers would actually, in these circumstances, say, look, we'll go in anyway?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to be honest, I'm not speaking on behalf of teachers in general, but in my own staff, yes, several of the senior teachers, we did have that conversation on Friday, you know, could we do this? But obviously there's a directive from the government, so we can't. But I suppose even the fact that the conversation came up from the staff, to me, humbled me that I have such great staff that they would be willing to do this in the middle of a pandemic. But it also showed me how serious the situation is, how concerned they are about some of the children. And again, it's really important to say that it's some children. The vast majority of the parents are doing the best they can in a very difficult circumstance.
Audie Lynch, what sort of reaction did you get from the minister today? Because it does seem that she wanted to keep the schools open for the special needs children and perhaps for those as well suffering from disadvantage, but was unable to do so because the unions did not want their members, for understandable reasons as well, to be exposed to the possibility of contracting COVID.
Yeah, it was actually the disability groups that met with the minister today. We have met with the minister last week, and our understanding is that, yes, the minister and the department did want to keep the special schools open. Just to go back on what Niamh was saying there, this is exactly what we're calling for across special education, but also, DESH schools and other schools that might have children who are very vulnerable in them. We'd like to see some flexibility given to the schools who know their communities really, really well. And, you know, we're being told that schools are safe and it's the circulation of lots of people that is the difficulty. But if schools could, in a flexible way, bring in small cohorts of children that they see are particularly vulnerable and give them some in-school provision, whether that's because they're in special education classes or mainstream classes or special schools, or whether they're in a disadvantaged area, then we think this will relieve some of the pressure that's out there in some families.
Okay, Suzanne Connolly, your solution, please.
Well, in Barnardus, we work really closely with schools, and we know how committed teachers are to the children that we're most worried about, which are children whose parents can be doing the best job they can, but it still isn't working for the children. So we do think, along with just what Anya said there, is there needs to be an allowance made for vulnerable children being a particular group, and even if all schools can't go back as soon as we would like, that alongside the children who have special needs, there is a plan made for vulnerable children who the schools know who those children are. And in situations where Barnardo's is in the community, we will work with schools to support the parents, to support them and ensure that the children do get to school once the opportunity is made available to them to go to school.
Okay, thank you very much, Suzanne Connolly, Chief Executive of Barnardo's, Anya Lynch, Chief Executive of the National Parents Council Primary Division, and Niamh Murray, Principal of Rutland Street National School in Dublin 1. A listener says, just wondering if Seisho will address the return to online learning for primary and secondary schools. My husband and I both work full-time and have two sons, one in primary, one in secondary school. We're trying to schedule a timetable for our family to follow during this time. So disheartened to see the response from our primary school. Our son is in fourth class, and this morning we received a to-do list of work Monday to Friday at home, no online classes, neither live nor pre-recorded, and no engagement whatsoever directly with the teacher or classmates, even for a couple of times a week. Surely this cannot be deemed online learning. It is simply not acceptable considering we could be homeschooling our children for months ahead. We are doing our very best to support our children with their education. I can't believe that any school can stand over this. It appears to be at the whim of the schools as to whether they will engage in online learning or not. This has to be addressed as a matter of urgency, as children in such schools will be totally disadvantaged. Okay, that is something we will be getting back to in the days ahead.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.